With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
KGMC-FM and HD1, KGMC San Francisco, a radio.com station, 95.7 The Game. 95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us on a Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock here downtown San Francisco. And I'll be on the mic for the next 2 hours. It'll be general sports talk with Lieutenant Colonel Rick Tittle. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have the, I'll get you ready for the Bay Bridge Game 2, Bay Bridge Series, I should say. And a very interesting game last night and some news as well. But we will talk a little NBA at the bottom of the hour. We'll bring in Sean Devaney, our friend from the Sporting News. We'll also talk to Danny LaRue in about an hour and a half. He covers the Warriors for The Athletic. An hour from now, though, I'm going to bring in our friend Brody Brazil, because Brody not only does a great job doing the pre- and post-game for the A's and the Sharks over at NBC Sports, he also is the inventor of the Bay Bridge Series trophy, which is brand new. And in the Giants press box last night at AT&T, I got my hands on it. Took a picture of it. If you want to look, it's up on my Twitter if you want. But I want to talk to Brody about how he came up with the idea. But I'm sure a lot of people, as you're listening to me right now, you're making your way over to AT&T Park. And whether you're wearing the green and gold, and maybe you're wearing the orange and black, or maybe you're just a baseball fan in general, maybe you're a split capper. I'll tell you this. I've said this once. I've said it 100 times. I could not care less who you, a stranger, roots for. I'll never understand the rage that people have over someone who does a split cap. It's just wrong. It's morally wrong. What do you care? If it's your best friend and he jumps ship to the team that's winning, and we've seen that a lot in sports, you might say, you know, A2 Brute, you're leaving us. You're a glory hog. Well, what if you're like Herbs always says, you're a Bay Area resident and you like both teams? Is that a sin? And for me, when I was growing up, we didn't have social media. You had to talk smack to somebody's face. Well, now you can just do it in the comfort of your own house on a phone or a computer. And so it's a different kind of world. But I would like to remind everybody that the A's and Giants are absolutely not rivals. It's like the Raiders and the Niners are not rivals. They play in different leagues and different conferences. And yes, for interleague play for these 6 games, they do matter. And it's a great rivalry for the fans, because there are a lot of A's and Giants fans that live with each other, that work with each other. And it's good bragging rights and teasing rights. And that's always been there. And that's always been a lot of fun. But it's funny when you say, who are the rivals? And it's not the other team. It would be the teams in your division. Those would be the rivals. For the team. Now, for the fans, of course, it's a different kind of thing. So as you, maybe you're getting ready to listen to the game, whatever you're doing here on your Saturday, maybe you're raking leaves and you've got me on, you're jogging on a trail. I would love to hear from you, your thoughts about the Bay Bridge Series and what it means to you. And what do you think about these two teams right now? Because last year, the Bay Area was the absolute commode of Major League Baseball. You had two last-place teams. The Giants almost became the most expensive team to lose 100 games. Everything that could have gone wrong for them went wrong. And for the A's, their third straight last-place finish. And so when you looked at the acquisitions the Giants made and some of the money they spent, you thought, well, maybe they can get to 500. And with the A's, you had your fingers crossed, and you think maybe they can get to 500, although it didn't look like it with the rotation. And you look at the rotation now, and you still have to ask yourself, how in the world are the A's where they are right now? It's not too shabby. And now, hearing rumors that the A's might buy, well, that's always a little bit scary to me as a as a lifelong A's fan to buy. It's like, I don't want to give up Jesus Luzardo for some Jim Deshays type of rental. That's the last thing. It's like, oh, we brought in Jason Hamill. For who? For Sheldon Noisy, Jorge Mateo, James Caprellian. And like, okay, just, you know, shoot me now. So 888-957-9570 is the number to get in. Once again, 888-957-9570. The PenskeAutoSales.com text line is 95795. A little bit of housekeeping. The A's, within this hour, have made some roster moves. And we're still waiting to hear on Lowry. Lowry apparently was day-to-day, as we heard last night, after the collision he had with Stephen Piscotty. And that would be horrible timing if, fingers crossed, he wouldn't be able to make the All-Star game. So fingers crossed that he'll make it. But Franklin Barreto has been recalled, and the A's have selected the contract of J.B. Wendelken. You remember him? That was the guy in the Brett Laurie trade 2 years ago, a guy who went to the same J.C. as Reddick, Effingham Junior College in Georgia. And the last we saw of J.B. Wendelken, he poured gasoline, butane, and hairspray on a dumpster fire when he was on the mound. Can't sugarcoat it with the ERA of a 9.95 for the A's 2 years ago. Well, he's back. Who's to say he's not going to win a Cy Young now? Fingers crossed. So the big news, though, as you're bringing two guys up, well, who's going down? Well, one guy is going out, and he's cleaning out his locker, and that's because Santiago Garcia has been designated for assignment. Old Man Willie. Some people ask me why Ken Korak calls him that. His nickname is Willie, not Jairo, not Santiago. And it goes with, of course, the Bill King call, Super Bowl XI, Willie Brown returning Fran Tarkington's pass for a touchdown. The kids call them pick sixes now, little racetrack term. And Bill King, Old Man Willie, that was a great, great, great call. So Old Man Willie is out. And it's funny, there. I think you can hear vuvuzelas and other celebratory horns going off and fireworks. There are a lot of A's fans who are celebrating that Casilla is now designated for assignment. Funny thing is, though, you look at his ERA, it's a 3.16. I think a lot of people thought it was a lot higher. I think you sort of get to the point where you've seen enough, and it happened to Liam Hendricks a few weeks ago. The game was late, the A's were getting shelled, and he still couldn't get anybody out, and he was still walking people, and you think, what are we doing here? By the way, he passed through waivers, no one wanted him. He got outrighted, which means that he'll keep his contract, but he's not even on the roster anymore as he's at Triple A Nashville. But Casilla, this is a guy who a couple of years ago when the Giants were in the playoffs against the Cubs and the Giants were dying for a closer, and they didn't have Melanson yet. They bought him the next year, and he still hasn't panned out through his injuries. But Santiago Casilla sat there and like a bump on a log and stewed because Bochy just would not use him. He'd use anybody but him because he had kind of lost it. But the A's went out, gave him some cash. As I said, the number's not bad. But last night in that game when it got to 7-1, that pear-shaped seventh inning as it went down, and Casilla was walking people, and it's like, you know what, if you can't even throw a strike, why don't you just go? And it's, you get to the end of your tether sometimes, and I like Santiago Casilla. I think he's a good guy, and he's made a lot of money, and he's got World Series rings, and who's to say we might not see him again? Because they said he's got a 3.16. What if he gets outrighted? You could very much expect maybe another team will look at those numbers and pick him up. So I highly doubt that his Major League Baseball career is over at this point. And then the other roster move, Ryan Dull has gone down to AAA. And I don't think there are too many fans crying about that either. Dull, ever since his, against all odds rookie year, you think about a guy who was not a high pick. And when you're not a high pick, it's not like they want you to fail, but they really want the guys who got signing bonuses that were significant to succeed. So when you got a $1,000 signing bonus, literally, you have to go above and beyond and be better than those guys. I remember Reddick once told me, because he was a 16th round pick in Boston's system, he said there were so many guys who were God's gift to baseball, God's gift to baseball. He had to get past all those guys. And he had a great start to his career, but last 2 years, not good. And so Dull going back to AAA with an even six ERA. We also had Daniel Mangnan come off the disabled list today, and he was immediately sent to AAA Nashville with his 4.47. We know about his great month of May. Everything else, not so great. So on the, as I said, if you want to chime in on that, we're going to talk a little NBA in the next segment, but you want to chime in on the roster moves by the Oakland A's and just the Bay Bridge series and what it means to you. Love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. I'm getting a few. Adios, Casilla. Bye-bye, Casilla. Rick, I'm in a bunker in Sonoma hiding from Giants fans that are front runners. It's rough. We have to communicate A's fans with winks and nods. Well, I can tell you during the Bash Brother years, there were a lot of fans who switched over too. That's just the nature of the business. I love being in a two-team market. I think it's fantastic that at any point you can see anyone in baseball. I mean, there are so many other areas in this country where you can't see every player. You can see every Major League Baseball player if you're in the Bay Area, and that's never been lost on me, especially the days before Interleague. But the Bay Bridge Series used to just be something that we played in preseason. And I remember when I was a real little kid, I asked my dad, why don't the A's and Giants play each other? And my dad says, they're in different leagues. And I was like, why? That's so stupid. And it's like, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way of the world. If the good Lord intended, well, now with interleague play, it's funny. Some people said the A's and Giants now play each other too many times. I don't think so. I think they only got four last year, right? It was like 2-2. At least they get six, and they get to bookend it in the middle of the All-Star break. And it's a nice little staycation for most of the players who don't make it to the All-Star game. And they get to sleep in their own beds as well. It's always, you always get a little bit of an extra buzz. And the fans invading enemy territory in a sporting way. Hopefully nobody gets out of hand. But it's always fun because, you go to school, you go to work, maybe your spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, son, daughter, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma is a Giants fan and you're an A's fan or vice versa. And you get to go head to head. And it's a lot of fun, to no doubt about that. We'll talk more about that as we go and we get into the dugout show here at 6 o'clock. But we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on. It's funny, the NBA used to kind of shut down around these parts. Until about 4 or 5 years ago, we used to have an NBA offseason as Warrior fans. No such thing anymore. Always front and center, 365. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back at 95.7 again.
Now, back to the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7, The Game.
I'll stop. Happy Bastille Day to all people of French descent. I'm not. And tomorrow, you'll be playing in the Finale de Coupe du Monde. But it is time to talk a little hoop here. By the way, what do you do for your Bastille Day?
Rick, I don't even know what the hell that is.
All right, well, don't worry about it then. Just have a barbecue. There you go. I have a glass of wine. Maybe something from Bordeaux.
Bastille Day, I never heard of the damn thing.
888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. Sean Devaney at the bottom of the hour. My producer, Lucas, came to me and said, Rick, there's been a huge debate over the last couple weeks about whether a dominant Warriors team is good for the NBA. And I said, has there been? Are people still talking about that and whether it's good or not? Is it because of the Cousins signing? And it's funny because I remember when the Cousins trade happened and Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the Kings, saying that Buddy Hield was like a Steph Curry. And I was on the air with a few people saying, I always liked Cousins. I said, I don't care what any red flag is. He wants to stay in SAC. A guy who starts for the United States of America in basketball, you're good. And Popovich, the head coach of USA, and Coach K and those guys, they would not put up with him if he was some sort of red flag knucklehead. They wouldn't let him start for the Olympic team and the FIBA championships. So I thought, hold on to Cousins and build around him. And I mean, I got scathed on these airwaves. People tell me just how horrible Cousins was and what a just an absolute wart and malignancy. I wonder if those people are going to change their tunes now. It's like, hey, he's a great player. Glad they brought him in. I think that's kind of the nature of sports sometimes. If you hate a guy and then you get him. I always liked the guy, at least as a talent. I don't know him from the man on the moon. I've never talked to him. But as a talent, I like him. And it's the whole thing about the rich getting richer. The Warriors aren't doing anything on the sly. There's no skullduggery. There's no backroom dealings going on. They're doing everything on the up and up. There were a lot of teams that could have had Steph Curry, one of them being the Kings, who took Tyreek Evans with the pick before, and he ended up being Rookie of the Year. Looked like a good pick at the time. And, of course, Johnny Flynn and Rookie Rubio by Khan and Minnesota. There are a lot of teams that could have had Steph. There are a lot of teams that could have had Klay Thompson. He wasn't a top 10 pick. And Draymond Green, the conference player of the year in the Big Ten, he's not even a first-round pick. And then they wait and they get a free agent in KD, and everyone acts like the Warriors are cheating. They get one free agent, okay, and now they get another. They're not doing, it's not like the Yankees, and by the way, I'm jealous of the Yankees. I'm jealous of any team that just opens up a checkbook and buys players. There was an ad campaign on BART a few years ago for the A's that said it's better to build a team than to buy it. Couldn't disagree more. I don't care how you win. I don't care if every, have you ever lifted a trophy or seen, well, we haven't, we're fans. Have you ever seen the captain of your professional sports team, whoever it is, lift a trophy and go, we only drafted half the team. It's kind of fake. No, you're too busy having fun. You're too busy celebrating. Who cares if you bought the guy? Who it's like, oh, and the other thing that kills me when people talk about how, you know, I still see more articles about how the A's are getting more bang for the buck. They're getting more wins for less money. Why would one fan on the face of the earth be proud of that? It's not your money. And it's not because it's just so savvy. It's cheapness. So I will not be, as I said before, a champion of frugality. I can't point and say, wow, you know, it's like if I buy a Mercedes and you buy a Yugo, and then your Yugo costs $10 and it lasted longer than my Mercedes. You go, see, I was smarter. It's like, no, you were cheap and you got lucky is what it is there. So I don't care if you build a team, you drafted, it's great, whatever. You can feel smug about yourself. I drafted all of them. Who cares? You think Brian Cashman, when the Yankees win the World Series, is like, you know, I didn't draft Giancarlo Stanton. I feel kind of bad. No, he doesn't say that. So when I look at the Warriors, and yes, most of it is homegrown, which is great. The first thing I'd say to anyone that thinks that the Warriors are ruining the NBA is, listen, we suffered for about 35 of the last 40 years from 75 to 2015, of which I was a Warrior fan that entire time. And I wasn't one of those guys who said, the Lakers are my playoff team. No, I despise the Lakers. I always will. I have very nice warm cases of schadenfreude when I see the Lakers do anything wrong. I really do. It's like, I don't care what they do. It's like, oh, I have to have a playoff team. Now, for me, the playoffs are always, I'd watch them with one eye open. Because the Warriors were never, it's never as fun for me if my team's not in it. And you can say, well, then you're not a fan of the game. All right, well, maybe I'm not. It's just, to me, the game is a lot more fun when it's my team. So if you think about 35 years of doormat, laughingstock, do everything wrong, bring in Torzic to draft Todd Fuller because he can't wait for Kobe Bryant. Rick Adelman starts B.J. Armstrong over Tim Hardaway. And just the list goes on and on of the clowns, especially in between Nelly's bookend years. The Brian Winters, the Mike Montgomerys, the Laniers, the... It goes on. We can sit here all day, and why do it? But in those 40 years, how many years were fun? Okay, we had the year where George Karl took the Warriors to the playoffs for the first time in 10 years, beating Utah, having that one great quarter from Sleepy Floyd. You had, by the way, number 21, Sleepy Floyd. That's now going to be Jonas Jerebko. He's going to wear 21. So I'd let you in on that if you want to buy a jersey. And then a couple years of run TMC, and then a We Believe year. Ooh, we knocked off the eighth seed and then lost to the Jazz. Oh, a nice dunk by Baron Davis on AK-47, but that was about it. And so it's like, oh, listen, if the Warriors won the next 10 NBA titles, it still wouldn't make up for the doormat status we had. And to drop a name, I remember years ago I was interviewing Alonzo Mourning, and he asked me, well, who's your team? And I said the Warriors, and he started laughing, and he laughed way too long. It wasn't like, ha, ha, ha. It was like, like, all right, I'm happy I made your day. And then it went on and on. It was like he heard the funniest joke of his life. It was guffaw laughter. He was bent over. It's like he had gas. He couldn't breathe. We had to get the oxygen. I'm like, I know the Warriors stink. And he's like, they don't know how to play defense. Oh, he thought it was so funny. So that kind of laughter for 35 out of 40 years, I happen to think that the Warriors are not dominating the world when it comes to the fan base. And do people jump on? That's fine. They can jump on. That's human nature. But to say that the NBA is lame when there's a dominant team, I don't care. I really don't care. We've always had dominant teams. Do you want parity, P. Rozelle? We've always had it. One of the things that kills me that we always hear from New York sports writers is they say, when the Yankees are playing well, it's good for baseball. I've heard so many people say, yeah, that is true. How is that true even one iota? You know who it's good for when the Yankees are playing well? It's good for the Yankees. That's who it's good for. You think you look at the standings in those years when the Yankees were bad, especially in the Bash Brother years, back when we had the balanced schedule and you played everybody 12 times, six at home, six away, and the A's went 12-0 against the Yankees. What was that, 90? Do you think anybody said, yeah, this baseball season is so lame because the Yankees aren't good? No, you know who said that? Yankee fans said that. Do I care about Yankee fans? No, I don't care about Yankee fans because I'm not a Yankee fan. So it's just I think the hubris of the New York market thinking, well, if the Yankees aren't doing well, then this is just a bad season. So it's easy for them to point all the way out to Oakland and say, well, I mean, you got this dominant team. And then to anyone to disparage someone who wants to join a successful team, like you're supposed to continue your slog. It's like, no, stay there and make them better. And I was surprised, by the way, that Paul George did stay in Oklahoma City. Did anybody see that coming? I didn't see that coming. I thought he would go back to Los Angeles. But the other thing, too, that I think, as much as I hate the Lakers, you have to appreciate the fact that they won free agency. And if you want to break it down and say, oh, I don't know if they actually won. No, they did. How did they win free agency? Because they got LeBron James. So the people who say, well, I don't, you know, you got the worst three-point shooting team or second worst three-point shooting team in the league. You didn't go out and get three-point shooters. You get Stevenson, you get McGee, you get Rondo. Tell me how that got better. I don't care who, I don't care if you got Michael Urban and Jim Cosimore. You got LeBron James. He has put weaker teams on his back all the way to the finals. And yeah, it was in the East. The Lakers not only won free agency, they destroyed every other team in free agency. You got LeBron James. Who cares that it's Rondo and McGee and Stevenson? Is that going to kill your team? Yes, it would have been better if they got Paul George. And yes, it would have been better if they got Chris Paul. It would have been great for them. But you think about Rob Pelinka, by the way, used to be he's part of that Fab Five team with the Wolverines. Now he kind of looks like Rob Lowe's grandfather, but he's the GM now of the Lakers. And he came out this week saying that it would be stupid to try to beat the Warriors at their own game, that they're going to try and shut it down defensively. And this is why they got guys like Rondo, although McGee's not exactly a defensive force, and Stevenson. But what about Daryl Morey? Because Daryl Morey did try to beat the Warriors at their own game, and he probably would have if Chris Paul didn't get hurt. Chris Paul missed those last two games when the Warriors were down 3-2. We'll never know. I'd like to think that the Warriors would have won those games anyway, but we'll never know. That, to me, has been the closest so far, outside of the Warriors choking away three games in 2016 at the end of the season. So if that's what they want to do, bully for them. If they want to just make it into, many teams have tried that. They try to take the Warriors into the trenches, and we're going to take away the three-point shot. And how are you going to take away the three-point shot from the Warriors? You know, it's not just Steph. If it was just Steph, then you probably could figure out a way at least to limit him. It's like, well, he'll get 20. We can't let him get 38. Well, you forgot about Klay Thompson and you forgot about Kevin Durant. So it's just and listen, Rob Pelinka's got to do what he thinks is the best thing to do. And Daryl Morey's going to do what he thinks is the best thing to do. But that's kind of like the detente they have right now as they're trying to figure out what's going to work and what doesn't. I tell you this, for the Lakers, their preseason opener, the tickets are going for $226 on average. Their home opener has doubled. The average ticket for their home opener, this is from secondary ticket sources, is an average of $545 to see LeBron in La La Land now. So if you think about getting a lot of, bang for your buck there, then yeah, it is true, because the Lakers are going to be making a lot more cash than they have in the past. 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. And we are now joined by Sean Devaney, our friend from the Sporting News. And Sean, tell me what you think of this. I was just saying, no matter what happens and the Rondos and Stevensons and McGee's of the world, the fact that the Lakers signed LeBron, they've won free agency. That's just end of story, right?
Yeah, especially when you consider that that is all they did besides sign LeBron. That, you know, that it was expected, or a lot of people suggested that there was no way it was going to happen unless they got a Paul George, a Kawhi Leonard, that they needed somebody else in order to lure LeBron there. That was never true. And LeBron, it turns out, was always going to go to L.A. And certainly there were plenty of signals of that in the last month or so before he finally made that decision. But you have to give them credit that they got the guy they wanted. But they didn't have to work very hard in order to do it. Still, the fact that he's in L.A. is a huge win for that franchise.
When you heard that Cousins was going to Oakland, did you think, that's a great pickup, kind of a surprise? He's not getting the huge contract that maybe he thought he was going to get, and he's only going to play half a season. Or did you break everything around you saying, the rich got richer?
I mean, I don't understand the knee-jerk reaction against that move. To me, if I was Boogie Cousins, that's exactly what I would have done. Mm-hmm. Because, you could take the two-year deal from New Orleans, and that would obviously be the instant gratification. But I think for what he's trying to do, he's not thinking about 2 years. He's thinking about the rest of his career. He's got to be able to prove that he's still healthy, and no place is going to be able to do that for him quite the way Golden State is going to be able to, because they're going to play into June. We know that, and he knows that. He signs with New Orleans. He might have he might come back in February and be done playing in April. That's just the way it is. They might not make the playoffs. But you go and you sign with the Warriors, you know that you've got 4 months. You can show what you can do. You'll be able to go out there and show that you're healthy. If you can play well in the conference finals and the finals, then you set yourself up in a summer of 2019 where there's going to be a lot more money. There's going to be a lot more teams with some flexibility. All of a sudden, you'll be back at the top of the free agent list. So for me, this wasn't so much about the rich getting richer. It's about DeMarcus Cousins thinking about his future and doing the right thing for himself.
Do you think about after this next year with some of these contracts coming up, like, you know, Klay Thompson, and you look at Draymond Green, do you think this season is going to be the Warriors' last hurrah? Or knowing that you have Steph, you're obviously never going to be out of it. But do you think this is the last time for the band altogether? One more year in Oakland, move to San Francisco, and kind of have a new look?
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be that much of a new look, but I do expect them to have to change a little bit going forward. And certainly they're prepared for that with the young guys that they have and the way they've tried to develop some of those guys. There's no question about that. So yeah, I mean, I think they expect things to change a little bit, even if it's not necessarily in terms of the personnel, you know, that the depth and the things like that, and there might be you know, chemistry problems, things like that. You know, that's going to happen, and it would be rare if they were able to make it through this whole run without something like that happening. So yeah, you know, I think that there's a pretty good chance that something's going to change in the next year and a half. But certainly I would not expect them to drop off in terms of their standing in the league and the fact that they're going to be the favorites to win a championship really for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and there's kind of a underlying story here that because, you know, Michael Thompson played for the Lakers and Clay grew up on that court feeding passes to Kobe, and then Michael Thompson saying right on these airways here at 95.7 that his son wasn't going to sign an extension. Well, the extension, he would lose about $86 million. If he waits till the summer, the Warriors can give him about $188 million. So that's not a fait accompli that he's going to be a Laker, right?
No, right. And it's you're right. A lot of guys don't sign the extension because it would be stupid to do that.
Right.
That's not something that would make financial sense in a lot of situations. There are times where the extension makes sense, and there are times where it doesn't. In Clay's case, it certainly doesn't. So yeah, that really doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, you put more stake into what Clay actually says, which is, I'm very happy here, and I don't want to leave. And, you know, you take him at his word for that. And so I do think he'll explore the free agent market. And if there's an offer out there that he likes better, if there's an opportunity that he likes better in terms of himself and his career, then I think that there's a chance that he'll take it and he'll leave. But certainly, I think going into his free agency, Golden State would be the favorite to re-sign him. But it doesn't necessarily mean they will, but I think they'd have to start off as the team to beat in that situation.
No doubt. Rick Tittle with Sean Devaney, NBA writer for the Sporting News. Couple more questions for Sean. Let me ask you about a couple guys and wither their situations. I kind of feel like someday I'm going to wake up and find out that Kawhi is on some team that I never expected him to join. I'm expecting something weird. What do you think is going to happen with Leonard?
Right, like he's going to sign with the Chinese team or something like that and spend the year overseas or something. That wouldn't surprise me at all at this point. Yeah, you know, I mean, look, the guy's made it pretty clear what he wants to do. He wants to go to L.A. He wants to play for the Lakers. He can't do that yet. He's not a free agent. So he does have some leverage in terms of his free agency coming up in 2019. So, you know, I just think in the end that if you're all the teams that have come up, you know, whether it's Boston, which really hasn't had that much interest in him, or Philadelphia, which does have some interest, but is not going to go too far because they know there's no guarantee they'll be able to sign him. Toronto, which is, you know, really asking out of sheer desperation if they were to make a trade for Kawhi Leonard, and I just don't see that happening. You know, no matter what other team gets involved in this, you're still going to deal with the fact that in a year he's going to the Lakers. So it's just, you know, if you're the Spurs, you're going to have to eventually swallow your pride and make a trade with the Lakers here, because I just think that, that there's no way he's going anywhere else.
And we're hearing now Melo maybe to the Rockets. That's the strongest rumor. If he does go there, well, how does he help them?
You know, it's really funny because, you know, this is a team that obviously had the Warriors on the ropes. If Chris Paul had been healthy, who knows what would have happened in that series, in that game six and that game seven. You know, that you can look at that and play a lot of what-if kind of games. They go from that to really being the team that has the best chance to take down the Warriors to losing two really key guys, Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute, and now not only downgrading to me, really downgrading to Carmelo Anthony, but being desperate to downgrade to Carmelo because they don't have any other small forwards. They got nobody else to play the three. So, you know, it's really it's quite a fall from grace for, you know, considering where they were, you know, 2 months ago to where they are now. If they don't get Mello, I actually think it'll probably be better for them. I don't think he's a good fit there at all, especially with Mike D'Antoni. I don't think that that hatchet has been buried from their time together in New York, where they really did not get along. I think they'd be better off not getting Mello and trying to find, you know, a small forward that they can cultivate themselves. I just think that in the bigger picture, it really does show you just how far they've fallen from late May till now.
And speaking of the East, Danny Ainge told the press that he's kind of sick and tired of people saying that, well, now LeBron's out of the East, it's going to be easy for you. And he said, listen, if we want to win a championship, we still have to get through LeBron, which I understand. The only thing is the Warriors might take care of that for him before they even get to that point. What did you think about what Ainge said there?
Yeah, I mean, I think what he was saying is that somebody's going to have to take care of LeBron. You know, I mean, the ultimate goal is, you know, LeBron is going to be a factor there no matter what you're talking about. So, yeah, you know, I really would have liked to have seen a Celtics-Warriors finals this year. I think that would have been much better matchup-wise. You know, I still think the Warriors win, obviously, but I think that what the Celtics had available in terms of their personnel would have matched up much better than what Cleveland had available. And I think a Celtics team with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving obviously presents much different problems. So I think ultimately we're going to see Boston and Golden State in an NBA Finals probably in less than a year.
That would be pretty fun, no doubt about it. We also heard, and we heard rumblings of this during the NBA Finals as well, that perhaps the commissioner is very close to getting rid of the one-and-done. The one-and-done will be done, opening it up to high school players yet again. And we're thinking maybe 2020. We're hearing any news on that?
Yeah, and that's sort of been the behind-the-scenes plan, really, going back about 5 years. I mean, they've had this idea of, you know, they wanted to get more involvement from the NCAA. They wanted to have all the pieces involved. But it really, everything that that happened with the NCAA in the past couple of years with this FBI stuff, I think the NBA has finally said, you know what, we're going to go this alone. They don't want to do anything until they have 30 D League teams, or G League teams as they're called now, until you have 30 G League teams where, you know, guys can go and play and earn a certain level of money if they want to come right out of high school before they're eligible for the draft. So that's one of the key components, and that's why it's something that we won't see for a couple of years. But that's sort of the next step. When they get all 30 teams with the G League affiliate, then I think you'll start to see that plan accelerate.
And, before 2006, when we still had high school guys going straight in, I don't remember NCAA basketball being unwatchably terrible.
No, you're right. And you know, I mean, the arguments against the one and done, even. I have no problem with the one and done. I understand what it does to college basketball. But again, you know, college basketball has not done a very good job policing itself or improving its product in terms of how it manages these guys. So, you know, I mean, it's an NBA rule and it forces things on the college game. I get that, but you know, I think that college basketball has been every bit as popular in the last couple of years as it's ever been. So, you know, just the fact that these guys are only going to be there for 1 year, I don't even think that does that much damage to that game. So, you know, I think college basketball is going to go on and people are going to like it and watch it kind of regardless of what the NBA rules are. I think the NCAA missed an opportunity, though, with Adam Silver because he really did want the NCAA to get involved and to be part of a, you know, sort of a really a comprehensive solution. Instead, we're going to go back to where the NCAA is really having a solution forced upon it, whether it likes it or not.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Sean, with the Summer League, besides it being a lot of fun to get back and get knee deep into basketball again, anyone kind of out of the blue, like maybe a kid you didn't hear of, or maybe a guy who's hung around for a few years, really make a great impression on you?
Well, I thought Jonathan Isaac, who was drafted a couple of years ago by Orlando 2 years ago and didn't make much of an impact as a rookie. He really looked he looked like a guy who's ready to take a step forward for a franchise that really needs that, frankly. You know, they need some star power. He was pretty impressive. The kid with New Orleans out of Xavier, Trevion Blewett, you know, he's not going to be somebody who's, you know, going to be your starting two guard. But, man, that guy has been shooting like crazy and has probably earned himself a contract here, has earned himself a contract from New Orleans. You know, he's been somebody who didn't get drafted, was a big surprise, and he's been pretty fantastic so far as well.
That's Sean Devaney. Read him in the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Devaney. It's Devaney. Sean, thanks for your time and your insights, especially on a weekend, and we look forward to having you on again real soon.
All right, Rick, thanks.
All right, good stuff, and lines are open. We've got a lot to talk about there basketball-wise. And then at the top of the hour, we'll bring in Brody Brazil, the inventor of the Bay Bridge Series trophy made out of the old cantilever section. Pretty cool stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back, 95.7 again.
This is the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
What is this, Mum and Chance? Welcome back to the show. Does anybody know what Mum and Chance is these days? Rick Tittle with you at 95.7 The Game, getting you ready for the Dugout Show at 6 o'clock. First pitch, Game 2 of the Bay Bridge Series around 7:05. And it'll be a matchup of a couple of guys long in the tooth, Brett Anderson and the Shark, Jeff Samardzija. Two guys with ERAs over 5. We'll get that to you at 7 o'clock. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Brody Brazil from NBC Sports California. He will join us, talk about the trophy that he invented. It's called the Heisman Trophy. What's that? Oh, Bay Bridge Series Trophy. Thanks. But would love to hear some of the thoughts from what Sean and I were talking about there from the hoop fans out there, and then we'll talk a little baseball. But at 888-957-9570, lines are open. We'll pay for the call, toll-free. Get on in. 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. How do you feel about that one-and-done rule we were just talking about? And I'm sure there are high school seniors right now who are like, do you have to wait till 2020? Can't you do it right now? I don't have a problem with it. I know some people have suggested it should be like baseball, where you either come out after your senior year in high school, or if you commit to a four-year school, then you got to wait 3 years. I mean, if you like Bob Melvin, he went to Cal. He takes Cal to the College World Series. He doesn't want to wait 2 more years to get drafted, so he goes to Kenyatta College so he could get drafted, because you can get drafted out of a JC. That's what Bryce Harper did, too. So would you make that a rule for the NBA, that you got to stay 3 years? To me, it always seemed kind of dumb to make a guy stay at least 1 year. And, of course, the first time that happened, that was in the Ogden and Durant class. Those guys thought they were going to walk right into the NBA. And so Greg Oden said, okay, I'll go to Ohio State. And KD went to Texas. And by the way, KD still loves his time there in Austin. You saw when the Warriors went back there this year, he was wearing a Longhorn gear. And I think he made a donation, if I'm not mistaken, in the KD workout area, whatever it was, the strength and conditioning. He loves his time there, and that's great for him. But I think if a guy's ready to go, I mean, you told me that Kevin Garnett wasn't ready when he came out. You told me LeBron James wasn't ready. You know, that's what Dave Twardzik said about Kobe Bryant when they drafted Todd Fuller. I remember I was working in TV that day, and I was on the couch, and I let out a blood-curdling scream, and someone said, how do you know Todd Fuller is going to be bad? And I said, just look at him. Look at him. Just look at him. He's a poor man's Andrew Leclerc. Look at him. And Twardzik said, we can't wait for that high school kid to develop. And I'm not going to say I wanted Kobe Bryant. I didn't even really know who he was. I just knew it was this kid out of Philly who lived in Italy, and he was supposed to be really great. But the bad part about it is, if you get back to the no one and dones, is you're going to have a lot of high school guys out there who are going to forego their eligibility by putting their names in the draft and then not getting drafted. And that's why I think they shouldn't have to forego their eligibility. If they never sign a professional contract, how does that make them pros? We already know that the NBA has a system for NCAA athletes where they can go to a combine and then they can be told whether they're going to get drafted or not, and then they can pull their name out. That happened with Chris Hernandez at Stanford, and Stanford was the number one team in the nation, and he was a starting point guard, and he thought, NBA, here I come. And then he got in front of NBA coaches, and they said, you will never play in the NBA. You're a nice little college player. Maybe you'll play in Ireland or Spain or Japan, but you're not going to make it in the NBA. And he said, thanks for telling me. I'll go back for my senior year. And that was great. And there's nothing wrong with Chris Hernandez. He was a great college player. And it's a huge jump to make. So for those high school kids who come out and then you say, yeah, there goes your eligibility. That's just stupid. See if you get drafted. And then if you don't, then you can go ahead and sign with your Scully. Look at Monte Ellis. That was in that last year before KD and Oden had to go to college. He was the Louisiana State Player of the Year. And I'm sure everybody was telling him, you're the man, because he was the man. He could go city after city, county after county, all over Louisiana, and he was known in all five boroughs, lefty from Mulberry Street. He was known. And I'm sure everybody's like, oh, I want to be your agent. Oh, what are you going to do with your first check? He almost didn't get drafted. The Warriors took him in the second round. And I'm sure that was a rude awakening for Monte at that time. Good thing he did get drafted. But think about this. In this last draft that we just had in the NBA, which is only two rounds, and I remember when it was, what, 16 rounds, if you can believe it? I remember when they shortened it to seven rounds, and then they shortened it to two, and you still have draft and stashes. The NBA draft, outside of, I don't know, 15, 16 picks, is like jury duty for a lot of these teams. They really have no interest. There are teams that don't even care. They'll sell you their draft picks. Look at the Bulls. You want our pick? Yeah, take it. What do we need a draft pick for? Who cares? After the top three, four guys, we don't want anybody. This is what we've come to now. In this last draft, we had 41 underclassmen declare for the draft who were not drafted. Think about that. 41 juniors come out and say, it could have been freshmen and sophomores too, just underclassmen. They're all grouped together. 41 who weren't drafted. There's just not enough rounds. You're going to have 60 picks at most, and then that's it. And then you're done, 64. And so now you're going to add in all those high school players. And just think about, you know, you're the big man on campus, a high school campus. And you win every award. You know, you're the state player of the year, like Monte. And then you come out and it's like, we don't want you. We want a guy who plays for Real Madrid. You know, we want this guy who plays in the French League, who's from Senegal. We want the Lithuanian who plays in the Spanish League. Well, what about me? I'm the state player of the year. Well, you can go to the summer league, I guess, if you're lucky. So I just think that, and, you know, they always use the argument, and I saw Jaylen Brown, of course, who did the one and done at Cal, and he was the third overall pick by the Celtics. He brought up the argument is that, you know, if you can fight, you should be able to work. And that's always one that's hard to argue with. You know, if you wait, I can get drafted and I can you can put me in the army and I might die, but I can't have a drink and I can't rent a car and I can't gamble. And it's like, no, you can't do any of that stuff. But you can, you know, you can fight. So when you bring that argument up, it's hard to trump that argument when you get to that. It's like you can fight, but you can't do the other thing. I do think, though, if you want to get down to the brass tacks of our economic system, and as if you're 18, you're a legal adult. And, you know, listen, the NBA is not some philanthropic venture. It is a commercial enterprise, and it is a private entity. They don't have to do anything they want. And people who have tried to sue leagues over the year, the Mike Williams and the Maurice Clarets. I mean, good luck with that, especially when you've got an antitrust exemption. But when you're the NBA and you say, well, I'm 18, I should be allowed to make a living. That's another thing as well. I'd like to hear from you. 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. Rick from the 510, if they go back to one and done, I won't watch college basketball anymore. It won't be any good. Listen, how many of those one and dones are actually going to be fantastic players? You know, five, six, even if it's like a dozen. 12, if you take all of March Madness and remove 12 good players, does that ruin March Madness? No, don't be ridiculous. That doesn't ruin March Madness. If you took out half the good players of March Madness, that would ruin it. Yes, it would be pretty awful to watch. But if you took out 12 of the best players, you're basically taking one or two of the best players out of each conference. So show me a conference where the player of the year didn't have some terrible injury and he missed March Madness. Did that ruin March Madness? No, it didn't. And so I don't think, you know, and the whole thing about, well, I'm going to buy a jersey of a guy who's going to leave. You're going to buy a college jersey of a guy who's going to leave? He's going to leave anyway. He's going to graduate. So the most you're ever going to get of that, even a perfect scenario, is five. So that's another thing to take into consideration here on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795 from the 925. Rick, I will not pay to watch bad basketball. These guys have to be ready. And they do. Remember Chris Mullen drafted Andras Biedrins. He was 18 years old, and he was from Riga, Latvia, and he had played in a high school all-star game. And I remember his line. It was 1 point, one rebound, and five fouls. And Mullen drafted him because of his size. And thank goodness years later, the Utah Jazz took that contract off of the Warriors' hands. Not to say that Andras Biedrins didn't have a few nice moments, but it's the talent now is so raw. You look at, you know, Trey Young and Luka Doncic. If you look at what Travis Schlenk is trying to do in Atlanta, he drafts Doncic and he flips him to get Trey Young and that first round pick. And so now we'll see what Doncic can do with the Mavs. And that's a risky thing to do, but when you're trying to build a team. And you look at Trae Young. Trae Young led the NCAA in scoring and assists at Oklahoma. And people are saying, oh, he looks overmatched. He's going to be fine. I think Trae Young is a tremendous player. I'm a Trae Young fan. And I know a lot of people, I don't know why they like to disparage against him. I'm a big fan of that kid. He's going to be fine. He's just literally coming into the pros at this point. Now, if that 1 year he didn't have at Oklahoma, let's say that he came straight out of high school, how much better would he be one way or the other? Well, it depends on the individual. Obviously, that seasoning is going to be better for you. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. From the 650. What about the influence of foreign players in the draft? Well, that's what I was saying. You know, you only got two rounds now. I was thinking about when LeBron was with the Cavs the first time, and Daniel Gilbert did nothing to add to that team when they had LeBron. They went out and got Drew Gooden out of EC High. They got Booby Gibson. They got an elderly Shaq. They got Anderson Varejao. They never really gave him a lot of talent around him. And one of those years, they drafted a guy and they sent him immediately back to Europe. And they're like, well, we'll check in with you in a couple years. Like, it's hockey. You know, well, are you really that good? You know, it's like I had a fit when Reggie McKenzie drafted Connor Cook in the fourth round. Oh, this is a Green Bay move. This is great. The Raiders aren't good enough to draft a guy and stash him to trade him to somebody else later. That guy might not even make the team now. Such a stupid pick. Draft to help your team at least in the next year, especially when you have a chance to do something. You know, in hockey, we know they got to go back to juniors, or you get the weird thing. I remember it's like if you just follow the NFL and MLB and the NBA, and you hear like the Sharks draft a guy and now he's going to Boston College or Michigan or Union. It's like, wait, didn't he just get drafted? Yeah, it's a different set of rules. There's no doubt about it. It's a different set of rules. So the one and done is, I think it is a little bit antiquated. And as you heard Sean Devaney say, especially with the corruption that went on in college basketball this year and people coming out saying that, you know, players had been paid and that's sort of the way to go. And, you know, hearing the Utah coach saying, hey, Kyle Kuzma got offered, you know, $100,000 to go here and there. Like, wait, what? Never mind. And then what happened down in Tucson with the Adidas, maybe it's just better just to take them directly in. And that's the thing, too, is if now that you have the developmental league, now that you have that league, you can send guys to sort of an ersatz de facto minor league, and they're under your umbrella. Maybe sign them to a two-way contract like the Warriors just did with Damian Lee, who's going to be marrying Sadell Curry. He's going to be Steph Curry's brother-in-law. And a two-way contract means that you can't play more than 45 games for the big team, but that you can play for the big team. And it's a good way to keep a guy off the 15-man roster, but still keep him around. All right. Yesterday, when I heard that Brody Brazil, of course, the host of A's pre- and post-game and also the Sharkies over at NBC Sports California, that he had invented this really cool trophy now that the winner of the Bay Bridge Series will get to keep over at the Coliseum or AT&T Park. I asked him if he would come on, and he's been more than generous with his time. Brody, was it the story that...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.